Let's have a word of prayer. Christy, would you open for us, and then we'll sing a song.
Lord, we are thankful for this day, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, just renew mercies every day. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation. Lord, for the freedom to come into your house this evening. Lord, for all who's here, please bless the service undertaken, Lord, for each one. By these, Lord, we ask, be with the preacher as he guides and leads us in the service this evening. Lord, accept our worship tonight. Pray to be with those that couldn't be here, thinking Nana, Lord, and Pat and Steve, and Frank as he travels, watch over him, Lord, for Will and Christine as well, Lord, please be with them. For Leonard, Lord, be with those families, Lord, that are grieving lost loved ones this time. Lord, that you be with Pat at this time too, Lord, we're thankful for that she's back home, Lord, and her heart's steadied again. Lord, just undertake the needs, heart and mind, we pray. Watch over our missionaries. Lord, be with our country's leaders in these days too, Lord, that you would accomplish it all there. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. 233 is our first hymn of the evening. 233. Tell me the old, old story. Amen. We'll just remain seated as we sing. right. Hymn number 29 we'll sing next, At the Cross. I haven't sung this one for a while, I'm sure. It's just like riding a bike or falling off a log. Hymn number 29, At the Cross. Fit, brother, come on, you ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Evening's reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will not die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and to death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, but in the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. But if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, thank you, Norman and Steve. I don't know if Norman wants to thank Steve for those or have a word with him after church about them, but we appreciate all the parts that make up the reading of the Bible reading in the sermon very much indeed. We're just going to take a moment or two and make any announcements and take any prayer requests that people might have. So if anybody has a prayer request, now would be the time to put up your hand and let it be known. You got one, Stephen?
Okay.
Sorry, I thought you were.
No, I was just talking about.
Right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yes, Christy.
Marty Beaton, got a positive test.
Oh dear. Marty Jr. Does that mean the whole family's So what does he do now?
Stay in his room for
10
days.
I bet you his mom and dad should have wishing that COVID was here years ago. Goodness. Okie doke. That would be your cousin. Christy's cousin Marty got a positive COVID test, so please do pray for him and the rest of the family. I know that's going to make life very interesting over the next few days, so please do remember them if you would. I think Ling wants us all to make sure that Frank's plane lands over here smoothly in about, what is it, about an hour's time? Is it 8:30 or 8:00? 8:30. So don't forget and pray for Frank. I think everything's going well. He's just a bit pressed for time, wasn't he, at one point? So just pray for Frank. Anybody else got any prayer requests? As you may know from our church updates, that Monica's mom took ill there earlier on in the week and was rushed to hospital with irregular heartbeats and one thing and another. She was given some treatment and sent home. I think she had another wee incident there. Was it last night? The surgeon's saying that it's just one of those things, but they have a heart monitor on her. So we appreciate your prayers, and we'd appreciate your continued prayers for Monica's mom, if you would. Amen. We're glad to have Carol back with us, in spite of her back problems and her arms and one thing and another. It's not 100% yet, so please do keep praying for that. My mobility is much better than it was, and I appreciate Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang's help, and I appreciate Mr. Tan's as well. So I'm very thankful for that. It may seem like no big thing, but while we were talking in the car, I was able to actually reach into the car and touch the back seat. Shows you how small my life is at the moment, and I thought that was great. That was a great step forward. So please do, we're thanking the Lord for that as well. I'm thanking the Lord for it. I don't know if Monica wants to keep me wrapped up in cotton wool like a delicate flower, but I am determined not to be anymore. I'm determined to grow some thorns or whatever those. What do they call the things? The way the pine trees have prickles instead of leaves. I'm determined to toughen up. But not too much. Not too much. Has anybody else got anything they'd like for us all to pray about? Pardon? Oh, yes, of course. Ling's results on Friday morning. And she's going to send us all a text when she gets them. And, yes, we're still praying for those results. The IELTS, is that what you call it?
IELTS.
It'll be out, is it midnight on Friday morning? Is that what it is? But whenever Ling gets up out of her bed, she'll be checking online and expecting a letter. Please do pray about that. She did do a lot of work. I heard Monica mentioned one time when she was in Bible school, she said, one of her teachers, I think, said, or one of her lecturers said, if you didn't do the homework, don't pray to pass the exam. I know Ling did a lot of homework. Please do pray for her. One other thing, which you may or may not be aware of, the church was awarded charitable status there about 2 days ago. And so that is our first step in purchasing all the land. We still need a lot of prayer because I think we were working under false pretenses for our original offer on the land. So please do pray about that. Would you believe I spoke to an estate agent today and asked them for their surveyor to get in touch with me about organizing a survey of this little piece of land? And of course they didn't get in touch, so please do pray about that as well. It's almost like someone doesn't want to do some work and get I don't know what they get, £150-£200 for half an hour's work. Goodness, I'd like that job. Pardon? I could survey it myself. I could walk it out or GPS it or something, but it's crazy. But that's just it. For by all of those, please do remember all of the all of the other prayer requests that there have been. Has anybody got any private prayer requests? Monica? Nobody else? Okay. That's grand. Anybody got any thanks? Right, Christy's nodding at me because he wants me to say it so he doesn't have to. Christy appreciates all your prayers for his job interview, Thursday, tomorrow week back, if that even makes sense. Last Thursday, there you go. He got the job for, what's the title?
Data scientist.
So he's going to be getting lots of little bits of information and pouring them from test tube to test tube, because that's what scientists do, isn't it? No. So that's what he trained to do. That's the job that he would like to do better than the one he's doing now. Same place, but slightly different office. I think it's possibly a step up. He was telling me he has to wear a tie when he's on a Zoom meeting. He's that senior now. He doesn't really, I'm just saying that. But we're thankful for that. We're hoping to add another. We're hoping in about an hour's time to put Frank arrived home safely and then Ling passed her IELTS exam. That'll be a couple of days away. And I'm still glad of improvements in my health, so I'm putting that down. I would like to say that, or just remind you to keep praying for Steve. He started his treatment for the psoriasis on Monday. I think that's when they got the stuff for his legs. And he has to have it applied every day. So I think he sees stars and brings a tear to his eye maybe once or twice in the week. But he'll not know for about a fortnight how the ointments and whatever else are working, how well they're treating the psoriasis that he has. But please do pray for him. He's had a rough ride the past 5 months. Please do pray for him. We miss Esther. We miss Will. We miss Pat as well. And I was going to look there and say we miss Carol and John and Stephen, but they're at the back tonight. So we're glad to have everybody that is here, and we miss those that aren't. So please do pray for them. Look around the church, see where everybody sits, and pray for the souls that sit there. Try and remember what their prayer requests are, or even just read them as you go. And don't forget, when you're done with all that, pray for Derry, and pray for our country, pray for America, pray for goodness. Name all the big countries, and they all need prayer right now. China, Russia, North, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, Europe, South America. They all need prayer. So if you're ever stuck and you're looking at the ceiling at 3 o'clock in the morning and wondering why you can't sleep, all of a sudden a little thought might pop into your head. Hold on a second. God actually woke me up there to pray for something. So pray for one of them if you can't think about anything else. Amen. All right. Let's close our eyes. We'll have a bit of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for... Lord, for the freedom to come into your presence, for the open invitation. You know, Lord, we have pretty much a shopping list of things that we that are concerning us, that we're glad of. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would help us always to keep our eyes on you when these things rear their heads. I know it's tough for Steve and Pat and even Esther at this particular time with their health difficulties. And I pray you, please, that you would give them a measure of grace and comfort, Lord. I pray also for those that have lost loved ones, Father. And I think especially on John and Stephen and Carol and Norman and Will and Christine and their family, Lord. I pray you for them, please, for your good hand upon them. Also for Elaine and Hilary, for Kate and for the Cardwell family too, Lord, and for the Gilbert family over there in the States. It's a tough time, Lord. It really is. Especially at Christmas. But we know, Lord, that you're there. For the Christian, no matter what the loss, you're there. Please, I pray, you comfort all those that have lost and that are suffering and are grieving, Lord. And I pray you too, Lord, for Frank as he travels. Pray you too for Taylor, Lord, as she prepares to travel and that everything would just work out smoothly. And I pray you for each soul that's here, Lord, for all of the houses represented, that you would take and use us to
Well, draw those in our home closer to you. You know what each one of us needs, Lord, and you know the desires of our hearts. I'm sure Monica's at this particular time as her mom. Please look after her, Lord, I pray. And Lord, you know the private prayer requests of our hearts, and we just leave them at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. For Ling's exam results, for our thanks, Lord, for improved health and answered prayer. And I pray, Lord, as we go into this time that is supposed to be about remembering the birth of your Son into the world, that people would actually do that. That without the money and without the provision and all the pleasures and trappings of the world, that people would genuinely consider that they're the thing that they've missed for years and years, that the real reason for Christmas is, well, apart from the pagan reason, but the real reason, the one that we cling to, Lord, is to celebrate the birth of your Son and the giving of the greatest gift that any soul could ever have, Lord, the free gift of everlasting life and an eternity in heaven, and a life right here and now with you. We just love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, and we don't forget our brethren. Think especially on Stan and Karen and the folks up in Bangor. Brother Bissett, Brother Fox, Brother Hayne, Brother Asquith. Lord, remember too Tom Isaacson and the Randalls and the Smiths, the Kennedys and the Snowds. And just thinking James Wilson too, Lord, across the town. For those that have been and gone, for those that have slipped and slid, Lord, I pray you, they may have slipped and slid, but they're still in the palm of your hand. Please restore. Please edify and please save. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Got a practice. It's in the black book, number 34, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 34. It's called Born to Die. It is, I do believe, a favourite of Taylor's. So we are going to really impress her whenever she comes here. And we are going to know this off by heart. And I think there's just enough people here that we could, each group of us could sing a verse by ourselves. That made a few people look up. I'm only joking about that. Born to Die. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. I will play a verse of an intro, yeah.
With his blood he paid the price.
my redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to exchange for the cross of Calvary, for my gain suffered loss, for my sin he bore the cross, he was wounded and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
Amen. You may be seated, but don't put those wee black books away. I'm going to sing one more song, and then I'm going to cut myself loose on you, number 16. Haven't sung it for a while. I was just thinking about it as we were singing that. Number 16, he lifted me.
Thank you. we can put them away. And we can take our Bibles out and turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 5. We've got about 30 verses of this to get through this evening. So bear with me as we go. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse number 5. And the title for the message is contained in verse number 28, which is our text. And it is Look Up. Look Up. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse number 5. The Word of God says, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries, enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares.
For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. Son of man, sorry. Same person. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Christy, could you lead us again, please, if you would.
Thank you again today for this hour, Lord, for this portion of your word, for the message that you've given the preacher, Lord. We pray that you have and will, Lord, even now feed your shepherd, Lord, so that he can feed the sheep, Lord. Just provide for needs here amongst us, Lord, feeding hearts and minds, Lord. Just meet us where we're at, we pray, Lord, one more time. Thank you for this time. Thank you in advance for the words about to be spoken. Pray wisdom for the preacher, Lord, guidance for the Holy Spirit, Lord, for Lord of fire, Lord, and heavenly knowledge and wisdom for these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christ. Amen. Verse number 28 is our text, where the Word of God says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And our title, of course, is taken just from smack bang in the middle there, where it says, "Then look up and lift up your heads." This portion of the Word of God paints a very interesting picture, a picture of a world just before the Lord comes back to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and that's contained in Revelation chapter 20. If you want to go and have a look there yourselves about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and of course the many souls that trusted in him and come back with him. Now, I have many times referred to Matthew chapter 24 as I stand up here, because that is the version of this that means the most to me, because I started my serious Bible study in the book of Matthew, and so many of the verses are almost like just second nature to me. So I thought this would be a good portion to look at. But basically it paints a goodness. It's almost like, as I read some of these things, it's almost like the Lord let Luke look through a little window in time into the news and the reports of what's going on in the world today. And I don't mean in the likes of Beirut or Syria or Iran or Iraq. I mean on our own countries. Because many of these things, which people even 10 or 15 years ago would have laughed at as never being able to happen, are happening right now. It talks about things happening on a global scale. It mentions commotions or wars and rumors of wars. And it says, don't be afraid. It talks about pestilences and diseases and fearful sights and great signs that there shall be from heaven. It says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. On a global front again, it says, the one sign that is going to intersect through all of them when things really kick off is whenever you see Jerusalem surrounded by its enemies. In Matthew 24, it talks about the abomination of desolation. And that's basically when I personally believe that's the devil sets up, or the Antichrist sets a statue of himself up in the temple on the mount in Israel, which is not built yet. So that means it's a year or two down the line. And the Jews are forced to come in and worship. So that's not happened yet, but it says to keep an eye out for these things. And as we do, it goes on to detail some of these things. It talks about Israel, the children of Israel, and that means it'll be you and me, such of us believers that are still here, being in for bad times. Now, whenever I say that, there's going to be a great catching away of every believer before the tribulation and great tribulation, of which this is now in the midst. But there will be people, after they see everything happen, will say, "Oh, all those things that John told me, they were actually true." Or, They'll say all those things that Norman or Christy told me, they're actually true. And the ladies, they can get into the telling people as well. And Monica and Ling and Carol, they'll say, well, those things were true. And then they'll look out your old Bible, or they'll kick down your door, because the Bible will probably only be in your houses. And they'll get those things, and then they'll be reading them, and they'll be saying, all that stuff was true. All the stuff that they said would happen, is happening, and that was written nearly 2,000 years ago. Sadly, the things that are going to happen in this world are not just happening on a global level. At the end of our prayer requests, we mentioned as many countries, well, I mentioned as many countries that would spring to my mind. And that's all well and good, because generally speaking, the people that are running our country could be beating the living daylights out of the people that are running Europe, and America could be doing a referee, and it wouldn't affect us one little bit. Unfortunately, the spiritual rot that we already see taking place in our country and other countries around the world will have gotten such a hold on people that don't like God and don't like the Jews and don't like Christians, that even the families of Christians, even the families and close friends of believers will have no compunction about picking up their phone and saying, is there still that £100 bounty on reporting Christians or believers in Christ? And they'll shop them, even to the point where they will lose their lives. Just like in Hitler's reign, when many of the children were encouraged to tell tales on their parents, and many of the parents were arrested and executed and obviously never seen again. The Word of God also talks about a great upsurge in false religion and men standing up and saying, oh, I'm God, believe what I'm saying. And we see this happening on every turn. I think if you went to some of the Hindu countries, like everybody and their uncle sets themselves up as a god man to be worshipped, a Hindu god that needs lots of followers to keep him, otherwise he just disappears. And I want to tell you, there will be a point in the earth, ever so briefly, that there will not be one single believer. Just for a moment, for a twinkling of an eye. God is still going to be God. He is still all powerful, whether everybody believes in him or nobody believes in him. He's still the creator of the universe, and he's still the savior of whosoever will, no matter who does or does not believe in him. His power is not dependent upon our belief or our faith. And it even talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. People that have had yes said, and I just got to thinking about this, and it has only been, I think, maybe in the past 20 or 30 years that I could even begin to explain the scripture with all the worries and concerns that there are in this world, with the fact that there's really nothing and nobody that you could put your hand upon and depend upon them unless it's the Jesus Christ in them. People's heads just blow. Their hearts, the stress. Stress actually does bad things to your body. In a moment, for a little bit, it's good to have stress because there's adrenaline pumping through and your muscles work harder and your body goes faster and all that stuff. See how fast you can run when you're racing a friend compared to running away from a Doberman pincer, and you'll get the idea. The Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear. I had a good friend, lost his life to a heart attack, and he was only in his 40s. Went to school with him. He left behind a wife and two children. I remember a young fella who pushed and pushed and pushed himself. I think he was 17 years old. He was playing football or rugby, and his heart gave out. A child. And this is going on right the way across the world, everywhere. People are worrying themselves to death. And you would think, my goodness, who wants to have anything to do in a world like this? You know what God says? Don't be looking out Don't be checking the things that are going on in the world. Look up. Look up, he says, because your redemption draweth nigh. Now, whether that is, in this case, in the Bible, whether it's to do with your actual redemption from this body, Norman was speaking, or was reading in Romans chapter 5, where it talks about us giving up these mortal bodies and taking on immortal bodies. It talks about our sin dragging us down to hell, but the redemption through Jesus Christ being there to lift every single man up to heaven should they so desire. But you know what, friends? The Lord put this stuff in here so that whenever you get saved, and whenever you start to lead your Christian life, and everybody doesn't love you, and everybody doesn't pat you in the back and say you're doing a good job, and some people even go out of their way to do you harm, that you're not surprised. God said, Jesus even said to his disciples, I'm telling you these things before, so that when they happen, A, you can know that I'm God, because I told you it was going to happen, and B, you can be ready. So that you can know that there will be tough times ahead for the Christian. The good road, the narrow road, sometimes is a difficult road, but it is still the best road. It's only going to be here for a little while, because in the endless ages of eternity, we will quite literally be indestructible. Completely indestructible. Upheld by the God that upholds everything. I remember reading, no it wasn't, I was on YouTube and I saw a clip from a Superman cartoon. And the reason I mentioned Superman is because Superman was created by two Jewish men and he was based upon the Bible's depiction of the Messiah. You know those X-ray vision that he can see through everything, that heat vision that burns away all the nonsense. The way they tried to kill him many, many times, and he still survived. Even death, he came back from death. And sure, they had Superman fighting, can't remember its name, but it killed him, and he came back to life again. Superman is based upon the Messiah, unkillable, unstoppable, and a paragon, supposedly, of what's good and what's right. And one of the lines he said was, thank goodness for you, there was this guy that was giving him a beating. He was really beating the tar out of Superman, or so it would seem. And Superman said, I am so glad you came along. This world is like paper to me. It's like paper. And I have to be careful that when I do anything, I don't break anyone. But with you here, I can really cut loose. Imagine being in a world that's like paper, that you could literally walk through that wall and the church might come down round your ears, but none of it will affect you because you're held up in place by God. And that is what God offers us. That's what's coming. But in the meantime, God says, no matter what comes your way, look up. Always remember to check with God. He tells us these things. And he doesn't say, you need to make sure you have £100,000 in the bank. He doesn't say that. And he doesn't say you need to be able to run a 4-minute mile. Didn't say that in my Bible, in the King James. And he doesn't say you need to have 2 degrees. He says, read the Bible, be in church, and much in prayer. Because there's going to come a time when every sermon you have ever heard, when every scripture you have ever read, and every single Bible verse that you have taken time to hammer into your head, the Holy Spirit is going to need them to put on the tip of your tongue to give a reason for what you believe. The Bible says you're going to be put on the spot. And not in a good way. There's only one of two things you can do then, is stand for Jesus or turn your back on him. I am planning to stand for Jesus, friends, but it's not easy. First of all, you have to let him into your head and into your heart. And forby even all the things that it mentions here, and it sounds like one of those, was it 2012, does anyone remember that movie 2012 that came out probably about 10 years ago in 2010? And it detailed all these disasters that were taking place over the world. It sounds a bit like that. There are things that come upon us even day by day right now. When you're tempted to do wrong, for instance, and you know what, it's always there to gain some sort of advantage, whether it's financial or social or personal, or whether it's just getting more stuff that you want. The Bible says, look up, because that can destroy you. The Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, because your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you possess. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But let's be honest, sometimes we can be distracted. Remember to turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll be singing that song 261 whenever we're finished. When sickness or pain comes along, I know there is a great temptation to sit down underneath it. Whether they can do something for you or not, the Bible says, turn your eyes to Jesus, because people are watching you as you go through the many trials and hardships in this life. They are waiting for you to fail so that they can say, ha, your God's useless. And the truth of the matter is, it's us that's useless without God. When financial loss comes, and it will, we may want to throw in the towel. Let me tell you, I was ready to throw in the towel yesterday for a tenner spent on postage. I was coming out of my skin with the annoyance of typing 8 addresses in and passwords and this, that and the other. And then the browser hung up before I could download the labels. And I had to go into PayPal and cancel a transaction. And I couldn't do the rest of it yesterday. I had to do it again today whenever I had calmed down. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. When personal loss comes, whether that's friends or family members, husbands, wives, children, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I want to tell you something. It's hard. If you have never looked for him, if you have never sought him out, if you have never turned those pages in this book in the King James Bible, it is hard to find him if you've never looked for him before. You moms that are there, have your husbands or children ever said, Mom, where did I leave my glasses, my pocket knife, my favourite transformer, where did I leave it? And I don't mean the ones that power your laptops, I mean the ones that change from robots into cars. Where did I leave it? What will your mom say? It is wherever you left it. That's exactly where it is, where you left it. But if you have never cultivated a walk and a talk with Jesus, if you have never practiced, and that's what it is, practiced talking to the Lord and walking with the Lord, you're not going to be able to do it whenever you really need it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to put... How long do soldiers spend training? Is it months before they're allowed to go out? Things have to happen. Bodies have to be tuned. Minds have to be focused. Skills have to be learned. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. Not whenever all these things come our way, look for Jesus. But we need to look for him now so that whenever these things do come along, we can look up and we can spot him and we can keep our eyes upon him because we know it's him. What about when humiliation comes your way? When all of your good old mates point the finger at you and call you Holy Joe or Christian? And then you never hear from them again. Or maybe you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there. And they're all calling you Mormon and Moses and so on and so forth. What are you going to do? You're going to have to turn your eyes to Jesus. What about defeat whenever it comes? I want to tell you about the one that always sticks in my mind as we were walking around Gallia knocking on doors. And somebody asked me, well, if Adam and Eve only had Cain and Abel, where did Cain get his wife from? And I thought, you know what? I have absolutely no idea. I got called out. I said, but I'll tell you what, I am going to go home and read my Bible, and I will come back next week with an answer for you. So I read it, and it said something to the effect that Adam lived for 969 years and bore son, and had sons and daughters. That's a lot of time to be having babies. And that's a lot of babies to be had in nearly 1,000 years. So the true answer is that Adam, or that Cain, married his sister. And that's, and people go, ooh! Couldn't even look at my sister sometimes, let alone marry her. Like to wring her neck for not doing her share of the cleaning or the dishes whenever I was little. Afraid I might have done it if I had to marry her. But the real reason we don't marry our brothers and sisters is because our genes are just not in as good a shape as they should be. And I don't mean without holes poked in the knees. But that's literally the way. Nobody has holes poked in their knees, by the way. All your genes have their knees in them. But our genes do have holes poked in their knees, are the genetics that make us up. And if two people from the same family produce children, there's big gaps in their genetic code which can cause all sorts of problems. When defeat comes, you look up Jesus. That's literally what I did. I looked up the Word of God and I found the answer. Friends, I want to tell you, no matter what the world, the flesh, or the devil do to you or try to take from you, there's one thing they can't take. And that is you from Jesus Christ. Remember everything they did to Jesus. Remember all that the Lord gave and suffered for us. For our sins. In eternity and for our lives right now. Do you remember what he said? One of his disciples says, Lord, where do you live? And the Lord said, look, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But I have nowhere to lay my head. Do you remember even his money? He had no home and he had no money. Because as time went on and they discovered Judas was the traitor, they figured out why they didn't have as much money as they should have had, because Judas was a thief. And he was also the treasurer. And he was robbing them blind. And even those 11 that were left, of the 11 man that the Lord hand-picked. And you can't ever say the Lord only picked holy Joes, because he picked Judas and gave Judas a chance. It's not up to your location or your company. It's your choice whether you ever choose to follow God. Of all the 11 that were left after Judas went and hanged himself, 10 of them ran like frightened rabbits. Even his friends deserted him. There was one turned up at the foot of the cross. John. The one that was always there. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Remember what the Lord said to him? Woman, behold thy son. And from that day Mary moved in with John. And he looked after them. Remember, friends. Practice calling upon the Lord. No matter what the world, the flesh, and the devil does to you, they can't take you away from God. In John 10, we say this so many times, that verse was so important to me. Jesus says, I keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out. And then he says, my Father, which is greater than all, he keeps you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. And in case you want to get up to a bit of devilment in there, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit keeps you until the day of your redemption. So remember any of the things that the Lord has in store for you, he already went through. He has paved the way, so keep your eyes on him. There was a story many years ago of a dad who was out in the snow clearing, doing whatever he was doing in the snow. And his wee son wanted to go out with him as well, a toddler, maybe 4 or 5. And he looked back and he saw this wee toddler trying to take big steps and put his little welly-booted feet into the steps his dad made. And it broke his dad because he realised he had to make all the right steps if his son was going to walk in them. And Jesus has already walked those steps for you. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take them away. And I want for you to know, in case you think, my goodness, I'm starting to wish I didn't turn up at church tonight, because this is a bit of a, hard times are ahead, and all I'm going to be able to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. Where's the glory? Where's the happy ending? Well, there is a happy ending. I've read the book. The last 3 chapters detail our victory, 20, 21 and 22. The last 3 chapters tell us that lost souls, those that have rejected Christ to pursue pleasures and sin and all the things that Jesus said you shouldn't be doing with your body, they're not in heaven. Not because they did those things, but because they forgot or they chose not to accept Christ as their Saviour. And that's the only reason why. I've read the last chapters. We win. Or should I say, Jesus wins, and we're riding into victory on his coattails. We win gloriously. We win completely. Sadly, there are a lot that cast their lot in with the wrong crew and lose. But everybody gets a fair shake. Those that choose Christ as their Saviour end up with an eternity with Christ as their friend, as their Lord, on the streets of gold, in your mansion in heaven. Be able to see God the Father, you'll be able to see God the Son, and be able to see God the Holy Ghost. Be able to see the angels and thank them for all the times they pulled your fat out of the fire here on earth. And of course, we'll be able to see all the saved of earth, of every generation. So when these things come towards you, and let me tell you, friends, hardships, difficult times, troubles are going to come your way. Look, don't look at them. If you focus in on them, they take up your whole view. Look up. Look up. The Bible says your redemption draweth nigh. You might think, how do I see Jesus these days? Well, one of the names of Jesus Christ, you can read it in John chapter 1, is the Word of God made flesh. He's referred to as the Word a few times in the Old Testament. The Word of God is indestructible, unkillable, and the Lord promised that there would always be his word on the face of this earth. He said, a world can burn, and there will still be a Bible on the face of the earth. You want to find out what Jesus looks like? Read the word. You want to find out what Jesus has for you? Read the word. If you want to find out what Jesus and you can do together, read the word. If you're having a difficult time and you need an arm around you and there's nobody about, read the word. If you're looking for a bit of direction, a bit of wisdom on how to do something or get out of something, read the word. Look up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He promised it would be there for you. Because let's be honest, friends, we need it. It would always be there for you. Because we'll always need it. So make use of it. Sure, there's plenty enough to take up our attention, which amounts to nothing more than bars of chocolate as opposed to a big steak dinner. And a bar of chocolate might be nice from time to time, but let me tell you, I'd rather have the meat and potatoes. And that's what the Word of God is, meat and potatoes for the soul. So get stuck into it and let it get stuck into you. Amen. We're stopping there. We're going to sing 261 by way of closing our service this evening. So if you'd like to take and turn there, and we'll stand as we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 261. There we go. God bless you. Don't forget our prayers for Frank. He'll be hitting the ground very shortly if he's not there already, for Ling for Friday, for Taylor as she meets us or gets here next Wednesday, and all of the other prayer requests. Pray for each other and our absent brothers and sisters. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this evening. I pray you, Lord, please, you'd be much in our thoughts. Please, Lord, work on each of us, even as we go home, as we consider your word, as we consider your son and what you would have for us to do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for watching over us, for being very patient with us, for giving us chance after chance after chance. Please open our understanding. Please, Lord, let us have your power and your overcoming and your wisdom and, Lord, all of those good things, the gifts, Lord, that we really need. We love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. tiptoes and tap elbows and amen. Fellowship for a bit.